here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Everything is green, lovely, and it's warm. It's a lovely evening here in Tennessee. But what I want to talk to you about tonight is a forgiving spirit. A thing that I've had the most trouble with in all my years is a forgiving spirit. Sometimes I get so angry at people or angry at things, and it just I just have to step back. And I came across this thing in the life of David and how he forgave and how he was caught in sin. But anyway, one of the qualities of a forgiving spirit is that this attribute also happens to be one of the most difficult to acquire. In fact, instead of fully forgiving someone, most people opt for three different responses. See if any of the responses are like yours is or could be. Or maybe you have total forgiveness and everything. The first one is conditional forgiveness. I'll forgive you if, or I will forgive you as soon as, if you come back and make things right. I'll forgive you, or if you own up to your own part of the problem, then I'll forgive you. That's a conditional forgiveness. It says, I'm waiting like a tiger switching its tail. You make your move, and I'll determine whether it's time to back away or pounce and bite. The second kind of forgiveness that's less than perfect is a partial forgiveness. I forgive you, but don't expect me to forget. I'll forgive or you, but just get out of my life. Or I'll forgive you until that happens again. There are a lot of people willing to forgive, just so we don't have to see them again. The third response is a delayed forgiveness. I'll forgive you, but give me some time. Sometimes, or someday, I'll follow through. I'll forgive you. This is a common reaction if someone has been deeply hurt and has nursed the hurt over the years. Most of us would rather sit in a judgment seat than a mercy seat. If someone did us wrong, we would rather watch them squirm in misery than smile in relief. Yet forgiveness is just like the other person. Another person. It's all about us. When we are forgiving, it's a dramatic downward effect on our own life. First of all, there is an offense. And there is a forgiveness after the offense. Then resentment builds up. If there isn't forgiveness following that resentment, then hatred comes to take its place. Sometimes hatred leads to a grudge, and grudge ultimately excels in revenge. I'm just biding my time. When I have my chance, I'll get back. Openly confess that I could have written and talked more on this, but I really hadn't come to terms with these things in my own life. I sit with thankfulness and relief, and I sit in humble and honesty. Encourages to know when it can happen. Now let us go take another step further. While I don't feel resentment for anyone or toward everyone, I still wrestle with the issues that are on a regular basis. Every week, it seems I have come to terms with not letting some offense linger and lead me back into resentment. And I have to deal with it at the offensive level, or I'm a goner. I didn't. Before realizing it, it's always the same. It's revenge. Well, man, let's look at the forgiveness in the life of David. That's a great place to do it because we're at a point where David's life had reached. And so in the previous chapter, David sinned with Bathsheba. That set off a chain of reaction. Nathan said, your baby will die. And that happened. Your wives will be taken advantage of in public. Absalom took him. He made love to him up on the rooftop so the whole world could see. Your family would turn against you, and that happened. His son Absalom conspired against him. and usurped his throne. Now Absalom is reigning as a king, and David is on the run. He is at his lowest ebb. He's at the bottom. And it may be a moment in his life that he wrote these words, "I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined me to her and heard my cry." Psalms 40, verses 1 through 2. Here is a man at the pit of destruction. Have you ever felt like that? Of course you have. At that moment, with guilt crushing him on top, and this self-depreciating thought, a man named Shimei came out of nowhere to add to his ministry. To put it bluntly, here's a jerk, a third-rate klutz, who hits another while he's down. This guy's a real loser. People will call him a reptile of the royal house. When King David came to Berum, behold, there came out from a man, he's on the run, David's now on the run. Absalom has usurped his throne. In other words, a man came out of a family house. He's cursing outward, common as he came. And threw stones at David, and all the king's servants of the kings, and all the people, and all the mighty men were at his right hand, at his left. And Shimei said, when he cursed, "Get out of here. Go get out of here, you bloodshed and you worthless fellow. The Lord has returned upon you all the bloodshed of the house of Saul, whose place you have reigned. And the Lord has given the kingdom of it unto the hand of your son Absalom. And behold, you have taken your own evil. For you have blood, a man of bloodshed." The Living Bible reads it this way: "Get out of here, you murderer, you scoundrel," he shouted to David. "The Lord is paying you back for murdering the king and his family." That was a lie. "You stole his throne," another lie. "And the Lord has now given your son Absalom." That's the third lie. The Lord never gave David's throne. Absalom took it upon himself to take the throne. And at last, you have tasted what your own medicine, you murderer. A lot of times, when we have to forgive, we don't see we've done anything wrong. Here's a man who came out and accused him of three lies. Of course, some strong men around David said, let me take care of David. This guy's crazy. So now, let me go now and I'll cut his head off. How many of you have done the same thing? Let me at him. I'll slice his throat so fast he won't know till he sneezes. You already have somebody who will say that stuff. Hey, you don't have to take that. Let me handle him. Boy, I'm good at this. Get right. You've got your rights. Stand up and be a person. Don't let him walk over you. Just cut his off his knees and see the guy. It's a hard moment for David. Now he was thrown through. He had not only thrown rocks and cursed David, he had lied three times in his personal attack. He's led a lie. David had done nothing to want these public assaults. But nevertheless, David now had a choice. He can do what is offended, become resentful, and take revenge, or not. But the king said, "What have I done to thee, O sons of Zerah?" If David had said that once in his life, he must have now said it a half a dozen times. "Son of the son of Zerah, who were you all built with a short fuse? Carry a chip on your shoulder, ready to fight?" But David refused to retaliate. He sits in a calm and does not allow Shimei's short fuse to cause an explosion. With a wave of his hand, David responds, "What have I had to do with you, O sons of the earth?" If he curses and you, and the Lord had told him to, maybe the Lord told him to, "Curse David, then he shall say, why, what have I done so? Maybe the Lord will look upon my affliction and return good for evil." Get the picture? It's an amazing study of self-control. David had rock bottom, and along comes Shimei to gore him. But instead of fighting back, said, "The Lord is in it." He never got offended. He never took it personally. He didn't even yell. How in the world could he do that? One thing, he had a soft heart. He's a man after God's own heart and a thick skin. That's a ticket, plain and simple. Not so centered, so delicate, that the slightest pinprick would damage it. But really thick, rhinoceros thick. So you get punched around and punched around. Let me tell you, if you hope to be used of God, you need that kind of skin, count on it. Shimming out there by the dozens, people that get the job done are those that are able to overlook and all sorts of hurtful little comments people are going to make. People stand in the corner whispering, you know they're talking about you. But you got to have a soft heart and a thick skin. Now, that doesn't mean thickness toward God. It means you have a protective coating ready to, it won't be long before you meet up with Shimmies. It's only time such reptiles proliferate. And you have to decide, I'm going to be offended or not. Am I big enough to forgive? Now, let's jump ahead. Sometime after he passed, Absalom had been brutally murdered, his son, and all things not what they were, David wanted the eventual event removed from that Absalom from the throne. And the people turned back to David as their leader. Once you know it, once again comes Shimeah. And he castrated himself before the king, and he cried out for his blessings. And he said, oh, king, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry, I didn't mean that, all I said, but, out of my mind. And David could have killed him at that time. That time in history, that was what he should have done, according to all tradition. Shimon said three hardest words in the English language, I have sinned. I've been too many years, and he said the same thing to Nathan. For Nathan bought all the sin of Bathsheba and his her husband. And David said these words, I have sinned. Before we look at David's response to this, let's look at the other side of the equation and think about the times we have been in Shimon's shoes. He's not some Old Testament character or character. His actions and reactions are real. Let's turn again to the David's side of the matter. After what Shimon had said to him earlier, David could have been indifferent to those confessions, or he could have ignored him. Some people would do that, just sort of look past and shrug. George Bernard Shaw wrote these wise words, the worst sin toward our fellow creatures is not to hate them, but to be indifferent to them. That's the essence of inhumanity. Indifference is certainly not forgiveness. Indifference is real control, rage control. So Shimon stayed spread on the ground before David saying, I have sinned. What is really saying, will you please forgive me? A couple of David's people stood up and said, let me just finish him off, David. I want to kick his butt, and let me kick him, finish him off. He's a loser. But David says, what have I to do with you, O sons of Aaron? You have this day to be an adversary to me. Should any man be put to death in Israel? For I know that I am king over Israel today. And the king said to Shimeah, you shall not die. Thus the king swore to him. How could they forgive such a reptile? First of all, he kept his vertical focus clear. In other words, talking to God. I've discovered great strength in my making offenses immediately to God. I mean immediately. There's some stabilizing in getting a vertical perspective on the situation before any horizontal consult. Second, David was very much aware of his own failure. The proud had a hard time forgiving, but those who have never recognized their own failures have a tough time tolerating and understanding and forgiving of the failure of others. we are to develop a spirit of forgiveness in our own lives if we are to pass forgiveness and need not do several things. First, we must cultivate a thick layer of skin to buffer, to take those silks to come. Need to ask God for help with this. Lord, help me not be so rigid, sensitive, so thin-skinned. Second, we try to understand where the offender is coming from. This takes a lot of grace. But God's good at grace. Try seeing behind the offense and find the little boy inside the man lashing out at you. Christ was on the cross and said, Father, dying for our sin. He's on the cross dying on it. Whips and bruises, nails in his hands and his feet. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You say, yeah, that's Christ. But it's also you who can ask God to help you. He'll give you grace. Third, we should recall times in our own lives when we have needed forgiveness and apply the same criticism or emotion. All of us at one time or another have done that, done such dumb things in extreme offensive and needed. This happens being friends and family and work and school and church, everywhere. We must be candid about this. Nobody is above the drag of humanity. When it kicks in, when it kicks in, we can be ugly, or vile, or ornery, as the other guy. But I pray this authenticity all the time. Keep me authentic, dear Lord. Take every phony, baloney call, cell out of my body. Just keep me real. Fourth, we need to verbalize our forgiveness. Stuart Briscoe, fellow preaching pastor and writer, writes that some time ago, or years ago, a formerly fashionably dressed woman came into my study, very distressed. She had made a commitment to the Lord a few days earlier, but had asked to see me because something was troubling her. She poured out an unpleasant story concerning an affair that had been having with one of her husband's friends. Then she insisted that her husband should know and I should tell him. Well, that was a new experience for me. Me tell him. But after some discussion with the woman, I called the husband. And when the husband arrived in my study, I told him what had happened. His response was remarkably and beautiful thing to behold. Turning to his tearful wife, fearful wife, he said, I love you and I forgive you. Let's make a new start. Many things had to be straightened out and much hurt had to be healed, but the response of forgiveness made it possible that our own understanding of forgiveness of God became the basis for a new joy and new life. Our typical response to an offense is to call all the wrong things and regret indifference, ever plotting a way to maneuver, manipulate, to get this offender as vulnerable a spot as you can twist the verbal knife. And once we've plunged in, none of this pleases God. In his book, you can live with love. Dave Galloway tells a story about John D. Rockefeller. But I'm not going to use John D. Rockefeller. I'm going to use my own father. I was building a small strip center. And I had all the buildings complete. And my dad said, well, I'll go take the readings on the land so when you pour the concrete, they'll get the proper drainage and the curbs and all that. I said, okay, Dad, here's the sexton. The man to go with. He said, I don't need that. I'll use my own head. My dad was quite a guy. I love him on my heart. So he went up there and he staked off the land and the shopping center was already built and the guy pouring the curbs is coming in the next day to pour the curbs. Well, he poured the curbs, and I found out that my dad had failed to use the proper drains. The whole shopping center would be full of rain or flood after nothing falling. My dad was broken, and he said, "Son, I've cost you so much money. Just think of all these curbs. Now we got to yank them up. Got to bring the graders back in, and we got to do the land." And I said, "Dad, don't worry about it." I said, "All people can make mistakes." He said something that stayed with me the rest of my life. He said, "Son, at my age," he was 78 at that time, "at my life, at my age, son, it's time I profit from my mistakes, not keep on making them." But I realized how much money my dad had made for me over the years as just a laborer. And I said, "Daddy, I forgive you." And the story went, he was very apologetic. But even though it may have cost me several thousand dollars, I forgive him, and we were the best friends. You have to learn to forgive as Christ forgave you for your sin. If you're not a Christian, you need to ask him forgiveness, because that's what it's all about. Folks, I love you. Anybody that can help, you can text me. I'm 865-803-7334. Or you can get on my webpage or Facebook to text me or write me. I'd like to have you any way I can. But remember, God loves you much more than I do, because he is infinite. And take care. Go with yourself and pray. I'll pray for you personally. You let me know what to pray for. Again, thank you so much for listening. I love you, and God bless you. See you next Tuesday.